You're listening to Popular Network Radio on WOPN 1011, Atlanta, Georgia. Each one, teach one, love one. Helping others help themselves.
Hello, 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 everyone. I'm hoping that we are connected now. We have some technical difficulties, but we're going to push on ahead. Reverend Ace, are you here? Are you online tonight?
Yes, I am. How are you tonight, sister?
I'm so good. I'm so sorry about these technical difficulties. We're over here scrambling, trying to get your show back online. But I'm so happy that you guys have called in and that you're here and that you're ready. I just wanted to make sure that you were all set. Well, look, I'm here for you, and it's 9 o'clock, so the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's Sister Naomi Love, everyone, from Motivational Monday. That is a very big part of this team at Opulent Network, and we definitely thank her for her assistance tonight, her aid and assistance tonight. Oh, man. I truly welcome everyone to Thought for Thursday, and I'm encouraging to share your time, your love, your laughter, your joy, and definitely your thoughts. I'm your host, Reverend Jaiz. All right. And for all that's on right now, I ask that you make sure to stop, drop, take someone, if only one person, and let them know that you're on the greatest unity in the community station in the nation. And we are Opulent Network. We prove excel in all areas because we are powerful reserve, opulent voices everywhere. Sister Naomi.
Yes.
How have your day been? How are things where you are? It's freezing cold. It's cold, a little cold. It's not as much as earlier in the week in Atlanta, but how is it where you are?
Let me tell you, I'm actually in Atlanta, and let me tell you that it's still snow on the ground, and there was still a little ice when I went out a little while ago. But it is cold out there, okay? It is really cold out there. But I enjoy the snow. I lived in North Carolina for a while, and when I was there, we experienced all the seasons. When it was springtime, it was beautiful pinks and greens and yellows and orange and floral. And when it was the summertime, it was really sunny and cool. It was green and trees were on the floor. Not the trees, but the leaves were on the ground. And in the winter, it was white as just white as cotton balls. So it is beautiful. I love the snow. I love the winter time. I appreciate all the seasons. How about you? How
has
the weather been treating you?
Yeah. Hold on one second. Please. If you're not speaking, please mute your phone. The feedback is terrible. Please, if you're not speaking, mute your phone. Thank you. It's actually, I'm right outside of Atlanta, sister. Naomi is. It was actually more of a beautiful day. It wasn't as cold as yesterday and the day before. It snowed here for a moment yesterday, but it didn't stick. But the weather was definitely cold. Sun was out a little bit more today, so it was a lot more beautiful. But, you know, God creation and all is beautiful, so all is well. All is well. Man, again, I thank everybody for coming on tonight, the Thought for Thursday, and I want to remind you right now at the top of the show that we start off on Sunday with Love to the Line at 8 p.m. with Dr. Navigator, and on Mondays is Motivational Monday with that young lady that you just heard speaking, that Sister Naomi Love, and on Wednesdays we have Sister Lane and Wisdom Wednesday. Make sure to catch not only this Thought for Thursday, but let's try to catch all the shows. Let's tap in and get this positive feedback on every show. And again, we thanking you and we thanking you and we thank you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, Lord God, for just being who you are, the beginning and the end and everything in between, Heavenly Father. You set everything in motion, Lord. You control the degree of the weather. You control the sun. You control the moon. You even control the stars, and you have a name for each and every one of them. Father God, you even know every habit on that's on each and every person's head, Lord. So you are the Alpha and the Alpha and the Omega and the Creator of all. And we thank you, Lord, Heavenly Father. I ask you to just let each tongue that speak tonight be a fruit from your garden, Lord, Heavenly Father. And let it just raise up and let it just plant seeds that someone else will really, really get a touching, Lord. And that all we want, Lord, is a positivity that someone would know that it's a greater good in this evilness of this world right now. And we thank you and we praise you. Amen. 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 Oh, man, tonight. I wanna do you remember, Sister Naomi, do you know that song, that masterpiece song, How You Do That There?
Yeah.
I heard this the other day, and this is where I got my phrase from, where I got my catchphrase from. And I was like, oh, man, I got to come with something to that. You know, but how you do that, man?
Yeah.
We got to get this music thing right on here. I want the music when I have these catchphrases like this so people can be reminded of these things, man. But, man, it's definitely how you do that there. I know a lot of people wondering where I'm going with this. Oh, man. I'm all over the place with it, to be exact. I'm all over the place. And first and foremost is I want to ask, how many of us have a deceased grandmother or grandfather that you wish you could spend 1 hour with? And during that 1 hour, what is one question you will ask or one thing you would like to tell grandma or grandpa? You know, I'll say my question would be to mine would be how from the time that, you know, they was coming up, I know it was hard, and we look back on their lives and they were going through the slavery and different things and you know, all type of hatred and bigotry and everything like that. But so far as a home front for us, things seemed so simple. But now things seem to be so out of control. So my question to my grandmother would be, how did they maintain the order of life in the household? Because now there is no order. And I ask this question because it seems from when I was raised up to now, life of our environment has changed dramatically. And I want to remind everyone that all the lines are open, and I don't have a problem. I want everyone to speak, but please be mindful, be respectful if someone else is speaking. And if you're not speaking, please keep your phone on mute, please, so feedback won't be so bad. Now, again, I ask this question because it seems from when I was raised up until now, life of our environment has changed dramatically. See, especially within the home, we knew order. We knew order because our grandparents instilled order within our parents, and our parents would instill order within us. There was no talking back. We even knew not to look a certain way if it was something that they said we didn't like. We knew not even say a word close to a curse word because we would get hit in the mouth. But now there is no order in the home. A daughter and the mother may even be, you know, at the same party. At the same party. A mother and a daughter at the same party. A daughter might be, Mama, let me get your skirt for the, I'm going to the party. They switching clothes and stuff. And a son might pull up saying, Pop, I got this gas. You want to hit it? Smoking marijuana. And he's smoking with the sun. Now, how could there be order? So I want to know how you do that there. How you do that there? How can there be order when instead of this being your child, you're treating them like they're your next door neighbor that you can just, hang out and do the social thing with, you know? I mean, a closeness with your child is great, but there's order in that. It's a time where they have to know that this is my parent. Certain things I can't do with my parent. I'm not going to smoke with my son, and he's grown. No way. But this seems to be the way of things right now. Then they wonder why their daughter don't respect them, or their son is quick to curse them out. And we wonder why they won't listen in school. But why wonder when they don't listen to you? So listening to a teacher, how they do that there. They can't even be still in the classroom now. I can remember when I was going to school, the teacher focused on getting the lesson out. She didn't have to focus on, hey, Jerry, get in your chair. Oseline, get right. This here, put that down. Do this. Come on. No. No. It was order in the schoolhouses. It was discipline in the homes. It was order in the homes. Now, there is nothing. And it seems like everything that's going on, especially with our youth, we have to say, how you do that now? Give me something. What you think about this, Sister Naomi? What you think about this? I want a lot of feedback from this right here. How you do that now?
Wow. Well, this is so crazy because me and a couple of friends were actually talking about this earlier today. But, I think that the biggest difference, and I love how you say it, you would love to ask your grandmother this question, but I think the biggest difference between now and then, like you said, is just there is a lack of respect. And I think also that, like, a part of it, you know, I'm a psychologist, so I like to delve into, like, the way that people think about things. And for some reason, I'm getting this sense that maybe people at some point felt that they didn't have a certain kind of relationship with their parents. Because there are people that I hear a lot, they say, oh, me and my mother were best friends. Oh, me and my father had this kind of relationship, da, 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 da. But they have, so when you hear people saying, oh, me and my mother were best friends, you know, you think about, well, what is it that me and my peer best friend are like? What do we do? And like you said, there's a mixture. It's like, you know, sometimes it's the things that you and your peer best friend would do, you and your parents as a best friend would do. But I feel like people have kind of misconstrued that. Like, your mother can be maybe your best friend, but not in the sense of sharing clothes, drinking and partying together. Maybe so just someone who you can confide in, someone you know who always has your back, that kind of best friend, not the kind, you know, not the other kind, not the kind that you share clothes and you share liquor with and, you know, and go out with and all those kinds of things. But I think that, you know, people have heard those things over and over, or they've wanted those things. They've wanted close relationships with, they wanted close relationships with their parents. So then they turned around and said, oh, I wanted this kind of relationship with my parent, so let me have this kind of relationship with my child. And unfortunately, it doesn't play out how they think it does, because now you have a friend. Now your child thinks that you guys are friends, not that you are their parent, you are their guide, you are their, you know, maybe that you are their confidant, but and you are their protector, but you are not their peer, you know. So that's what that makes me think about. How do we do that? I don't know. The Black community, we've got to get it together. We really got to get it together. It's looking harsh out here.
No, I know. And I'm glad that you said that too, Sister Naomi, because you're dead right on that. A lot of, and like I said, it's good to be close with your child, you know, but there's a certain closeness. There's a certain, you know, we can socialize and we can be, you know, very close, but it comes to a point where some things you just don't do with your child. You know, smoking, drinking, partying, all of this here. You know, that's ludicrous, and it comes to a point where, okay, me and my mama are like best friends, like you just said. And then the next thing you know, they're speaking to their mother just like their best friend. Girl, shut up. You know what I mean? And you can't tell me what to do. This is what goes to coming out of their mouth next. You know? So it is time, like, and I said, and this is, that was order back when we was coming up. Order was in the house. We couldn't even look a certain way when mama them told us, well, shut up, girl, get over there. We looked a certain way like we didn't like it. There was a whooping, you know. And we couldn't say dang and darn and all this words that even seemed like a form of a curse word. We couldn't do that right there. See, we was taught value and respect from the ground up. This is what we was taught. But today, they value nothing and really respect nothing or no one. To help, I mean, give me some feedback. I want somebody to give me some feedback on this right here. I don't like to call line numbers or call nobody, but anybody that want to speak on it, you're very welcome to. Anybody that, just be respectful, please. To the next person. Anyone want to speak on how you do that there?
Brother A.
Oh, yeah.
Brother
What's
A.
up, brother?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, brother. Go ahead.
I was trying to think of the chord, not the chords, but the beat of the song for you. And the only one I could come up with was... The only one I could come up with was na 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 that. That's the only one I couldn't come up with the other one. But next time send it to me and I'll look it up for you and see what I can do.
Okay.
But, so if I had something I would ask one of my deceased grandparents, man, I'm trying to figure out which one I want to talk to. My dad's mom, my dad's father, which I never even met. But my grandfather, he's the one that I was probably the closest to. But she was talking, you know, the black community needing to be, you know, closer together. So that made me think about my dad's mom. She was, Miss Margaret was probably about 5'2". And when I guess when we were born, she had like a hump in her back. So it was like, she was just, it was just weird to me, you know, being young. But if I had anything I could ask her, because like growing up in Douglasville, she was around during all the hard times. And I think of the history of the county and, predominantly white, you know, segregated. I guess what I would ask her, man, would be like, I had a lot of good conversations with my grandfather, so it ain't nothing that I probably hadn't asked him. But if I had one thing I could ask her, it would be, because she used to always say, she'd look at me, she'd be staring at me, and she would call me she wouldn't call me Marcus, she'd call me Walt Jr. And his name was Walt Jr., but she would call me Walt Jr. in reference to him. And first I would ask her why she would never call me by my name. But I guess what I would really ask her was, you know, how did you, because she had like, man, she had like, oh, my goodness. I think I had all my uncles and aunts. She had like 10 kids. So, and she was a single mom, I guess, at one point. But I guess I would ask her during her time, man, like, how did she hold it together, you know, during all that time? And I know she was a faithful lady in church and stuff, but how did she hold it together with all those kids? And I know they all didn't have the same father. I know that much. But during that time, you know, the segregation and you know, the schools integrating and stuff that she had to deal with as a mom to get her kids to, you know, not just want to go to school, but keep them in school. And I would want to know how she did it, you know, just as a single parent, but how she held herself together, you know, just because, you know, we need examples, and I think women need examples. You know, they need good examples, not just Lifetime or you know, these athletes, or I don't say even Oprah Winfrey, you know what I mean? But they need good, godly examples of women that, you know, have been in the fire, gotten through the fire, worshiped through the fire, you know, and just constantly, you know, persevered through the fire, you know. But from my point of view, she just seemed like a strong lady all the time. And every time I came over there, man, she had fried cornbread in the kitchen, and it was just, it seemed like every day, but it probably was every day, but she was just a strong, strong lady. And she would just look at me and say, "You look just like your daddy." And I always got more change. I mean, you remember my dad. I mean, I always got more change than anybody, all the grandkids. All, like, she'd give them 10 cents, she'd give me 25 to go get some candy. And that got a lot of candy back then, boy. You got a lot of candy for 25 cents back then. But she was just a strong, strong lady, and I just didn't know how she did it. You know, so because, man, I need to draw some of that strength. And, you know, but she would be who I would talk to, because she was just always just, I mean, it's short, you know, but feisty. And she would say, "Go pick the switch." And if you picked the wrong one and made her go pick it, she wouldn't have got the branch, you know. So she would be who I would want to talk to. And I miss her, man. Man, I miss her. Good topic, brother. You know, nothing just over the top, but I just want to know, how did you do it? How did you maintain your strength? How did you get your strength? And I know how she got it. I understand how she got it. She's a strong believer, strong praying woman. You know, so just not really understanding that she licked a lot of my wounds back in the day. Man, a lot of my wounds.
So your question really pretty much would be like mine to my grandmother. How did they maintain strength and yeah, you know, just order in the house and in life, especially with, yeah, so much going on back then. See, we can look at life now, and we can really say, how did they do that now? Because some of the things that they went through, so far as the segregation and so far as the hatred and the bigotry and so far as you know, so much, you know, how mm-hmm. did they get through that? You know, it really took God, you know, it really took God. And I'm talking about, and we had prayer and family, you know what I mean? We had praying families that really sung their way through and prayed their way through things, you know. And something that you said is really what's needed today, you know. And there are examples. There are women of example for these young girls. And there are men of example for these young men, you know. But we need more. We need more that's not afraid and are willing to extend a hand and educate these young brothers instead of walking by them when their pants hanging past their knees. Pull them over and let them know what's really good. That's not a good look. You can't go and you know, you're bigger than this. See, if you give sight to what the world wants to see, then that's how they're going to look at you. See, that's exactly how they're going to look at you, and that's not a good look. And it's our duty to show them that life is way bigger than what the world perceives for the young black men or the young black women, you know, thinking that the woman, the young girl, 14, 13, thinking the love is because 25, 27-year-old men are liking them and want to have sex, not knowing that this is just a sexual thing to them, but their young hearts and their young minds have been tricked and fooled. So our young women got to show them the etiquette, like Sisters of Brilliance. That's why I love Sister Lane and what they have with Sisters of Brilliance, you know, because me doing the mentorship, that's all Sisters of Brilliance is, a womanly mentoring program, teaching the young girls the etiquette and the proper way to live life, how to wear high heel shoes, how to, you know, use the proper utensils of spoons and forks and stuff. You'll be surprised how many don't know how to, which is which, and how to use the right thing. It's amazing. But we as young men, we have to pull these young guys off the corner, pull them even before they go to the corner. This is what we got to do. You know, I want to extend, every year I'm trying to extend my mentorship, every year. And I started out with 10. This year I have 18. I have 18 now. So this is what we have to do. Next year I wanted to be at least 25. So this is what we have to do, because these young men and these young women, they are our future and they need us. But how can we guide them if we're not educating them? We're just letting them run rapid and wild. And they're doing what they want to do. And the first thing they do is the guys picking up guns, even girls picking up guns. You know, there's no, they value nothing and respect nothing or no one, because it's not built into them. It's not instilled inside of them. You know, I mean, it's crazy how, I'm going to say, to help and respect our elders when we was coming up was like an unknown commonality. It was like automatic. Automatic. If we were somewhere and an elder was around, it was like automatic to help them. But today, they can see an elder struggling with the grocery bag. But instead of helping them, they snatch the bag and run. They may even knock her down. They don't care. How they do that now? How do you do that now? No respect for no one. And this is what we got to do. We have got to build this within them. We got to sit these young women and young men down, and some of the older ones too. Because there's nothing more ugly than a young dummy except an old fool. So it's on us. There's no way we can just blame this generation. We got to blame ourselves as well. And I'm reminded, and I'm going to quote scripture. I'm just going to say in 2 Timothy 3:1-3, it tell you that the times are going to come, and it tell you about the times where the children are going to be rebellious. And, you know, men loving men and people just loving money more than they love their own selves and stuff. You know, it tells us about this. But we as the elders and the keepers of our communities have to take responsibility to educate, to show love, to give understanding of the corners of life. But we have no time to make sure we as a community, our youth, our people, are educated. If they are the future, we have to give them a guideline of what the future should be. Because that's what was instilled within us. Our parents instilled it. Our grandmothers instilled it. Like you were just talking about how that hot water cake was on every day on the stove when you went over to your grandmama's house. Grandmama was going to cook. Grandmama then, you knew not to use no profanity in grandmama's house. I'm talking, hey, it was like automatic law. Nothing had to be said. Automatic law. So how you do that there? Anybody would like to speak on this, please do so right now. And I'm coming, and afterwards I'm going into my second seed of this, which is the topic. Again, this is just a catchphrase. How you do that there? Anybody would like to speak on this? Please do. Don't be ashamed. Please don't be ashamed. I say all the time, every testimony, everything that we have been through is not for us. It's for somebody else. Someone else has to grow through your growth. Nobody can see who anybody is on the line. But your voice can, I'm talking about, can be so powerful. Your voice can mend a lot of hearts. Your voice can teach a lot of these youth what needs to be taught. Simply, you never know how many is listening online right now. And it's our duty to help them.
That's correct. That is correct. How are you?
Oh, Sister Lane, how are you? Blessings, sister. My condolences of your family, too.
Thank you so much. I'm only here for a short, brief second. I just want to say hello to everyone, and I appreciate the love and the shout-out and all that that are going on and around my family with the love that we lost. I just want to say that, you know, it's challenging to understand why people do what they do. I don't understand it. I never will. And I guess that God is so in me is that I can't question him and to find out the reason. Because, you know, it's like a math problem. You can figure the math problem out by doing the solution and doing each operation of algebra. You know what you have to do. You know it comes out to a solution, so you can go back and check your answer, so everything is right there. But what people do in society and how they do that there, as you say, is not clear. And if there was an answer, I believe God would give me that answer, because no one answer is correct. No one challenge is the same. So I don't understand. It's just like I don't understand why the girl went into the store, into the Quick Trip, left her car running, left two children in there, and then knowing that somebody can steal your car with your babies in it. And then your babies is left one on the street and then another one on the highway. Where they do that at? That disturbs me. Don't have an answer, because there is not a correct answer. Because if there was, God would have given it to me to say, this is why this is. The same way with a math problem. I know 2 plus 2 equals 4. You add 5, it equals 9. There's a solution. We have not yet found that solution. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for having me speak. And hopefully we will see you next week on Wisdom's Wednesday. This is Ms. Lang. Love you guys. Back to the line.
Oh, beautiful, Sister Lane. We definitely thank you. Definitely thank you. Oh, man, we definitely thank you. And as you said, if there was a solution, you know, God would have just given us a solution, you know. But the thing that we have to do is we have to educate. We definitely have to educate. We have to show these kids that, you know, they have to have a vision. They have to have something that they can see, a dream, whatever. And it's our duty to let them know that they can bring that dream into a reality. They can, you know. And we have to educate them about all the things of life that needs to be done for them to be a bigger person in the community, a bigger person in their families. A lot of time, a lot of these kids see their two older brothers, and their mother may be on drugs, and their father may be in prison, and their two older brothers are out in the street because they're trying to make ends meet, thinking that's the only way that they can feed themselves or the young one. But it's our duty to let them know that there is another way. But if us doing it, we'll let them pass right on by. We'll let them walk right on by. So it's our duty to grasp these young brothers and sisters. And it may not be the solution. It may not be the answer. But it's the start of the way of help for them. Because if I can have help, then I can have hope. And it's the same way with them. Sometimes all it takes is for somebody to listen to what I need to say. And that's the way these kids or these youth are. Sometimes somebody just needs to stop and just listen to them. You never know what they got to say. They may be going to tell you a million-dollar dream, and they may even have an answer of how to bring it to fruition. But they just need one ear to listen. That's it. And that's how they finally fall themselves into the fake love, because they thinking there's somebody that's going to listen to them, someone that's going to care, someone that's going to caress their mind space and their heart. You know, So they fall into this fake love with these gangs and stuff. And they fall into the young girl, fall into the mind states and the swift tongues of the older guy. You know, simply because the big sisters and the mentor and sisters haven't pulled them and taught them. I remember when I was coming up, you couldn't wear, it was no such thing, or no such thing as having a dress above your knee. Now they probably don't even sell one that go past your knee. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. But we have to do what we have to do to help them in any form and fashion that we can in life now, in life right now. And it goes into my second phase. Anyone would like to speak, first of all, before I go into this second phase? And our time is limited. I know our time is limited. We do have Superwoman online. That's Sister Delaney. But our time is limited. But I want people to speak. I want people to use their voices as the weapons that needs to be used.
I want to say something real quick, Reverend, before I retire.
Go ahead.
You know, you said something about we need to teach the kids. But you know what? And you know, it's not just the kids that we need to teach. We need to teach the parents. See, once you teach the kids, if you don't teach or talk to, advise, or help the parents as well, and that's what this part of the radio station is for, because what we do on the outside of the radio show, see, this is why we have the adults call in right here, so they can get the help and the advising and the information that they need. You got to teach the parents, too, because the reason why the kids is low is because the parents ain't found. They ain't found. See, we got to find the parents first as well. Because it comes in a combination. You got to have both. See, if you train that child and he come up and do right, and then he go back home and he got to listen to that same Lulu La La stuff and that foolishness, that all that what you did will be reversed, rewind. So that's why you got to work with two. And, you know, it comes in threes. You know, that's what they say. So I just wanted to say that was on my mind because, you know, the parents, when a child first starts learning, it's their parent that they first see. It's their parent that give them their first word, either dada or mama or gun or kill. You know what I'm saying? So I'm done. I got to go. I'll talk to y'all later. Love you.
Love you, love you, love you. And I do want to say, you know, even the Bible and the Word speaks on, if you train a child the way it should grow up, and he will always revert back to those ways, you know. But as you said, if the parent don't know how to educate them and bring them up and give them a way to see their vision or whatnot, they don't know how to do it, and they can't teach them. And you're right about that. But it goes now going into the second phase of things. The topic of the night, are you really that multitasker? And I ask that question because I want to fall in line from the catchphrase. Because a lot of time we want to do something, but we stay to a point of too busyness. Or we use this as an excuse. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm at work. I'm doing this. I'm doing too much. I do this. I got to do that. And you're doing 3-4 different things at one time to the point of you will lose sight of what's really important. So the topic of this is, are you really that multitasking? Do you really have that many things to do at one time to where you can't focus on what the need actually needs to be or what, you know, because these young people need this. And the parents, I always say about, I always give the illustration of how a mom may, you know, be a single parent, and she's working 12 hours a day, which she can't help if she's, you know, have 3 kids. She got to put the roof over of their head, got to put food on the table and such and such, you know. But she's working, coming home, don't have time to even sit down to see if the kids are doing the homework. So she asked a simple question. Johnny, you do your homework? Yes, ma'am. No, that she's never going to even think about sitting down and see if he actually did it. Okay, so Johnny's not doing his homework. Therefore, Johnny, if Johnny's not even thinking about homework at home, then at school we can imagine what he's doing. He's definitely not paying attention at school either. So therefore, there he is. The next thing you know, by sixth, seventh grade, he's dropped out because he's skipping school. Okay, but that parent can't and have no time to really just grab a hold. See, I remember about the teacher conference, the teacher-parent conference meeting and all of that. And to me, I used to be like, what was this for? But now I understand it's needed for the simple fact this right here, it teaches that, okay, my child is in school. My child is here. The teacher know who the child is, you know, and the parent gets to know the teacher. So everyone gets to know everyone now. See, I understand now that back then that's what that was for. But to our young minds back then, my young mind back then, I was like, why they always got to have these PTA meetings, got to meet my mama and all this stuff here? You know, it seemed like a waste of time. But now being a grown man and now having kids of my own, I understand what it was really for. So we have to make time the same way they made time to do that. We have to make time to go into the schoolhouse and set up meetings with the principal, set up meeting with the teacher, and, you know, have a cordial in some kind of way, have a touch hands-on with knowing our children is doing the right thing in school. Because not all, don't get me wrong, but to some now, they doing so much in the schoolhouse that they can't teach. All they want to do is let's get this day over with. So are they really teaching our kids? Or are they multitasking too much to teach them? She got to say, Johnny, sit down. Teresa, be still. This here, that. She don't have time to teach nothing. She's too busy trying to get order in the class, and it's every day. So, again, reiterating tonight, catch phrase, how you do that there? And the topic, are you really that multitasking? We got to stop. We got to take action. And like Ms. Lane said, we got to teach the parents. Because today it seems like the kids are the ones that's structuring the household. The kids are the ones that's putting the rules down. And the parents are just going with it. You know? I understand that law, quote unquote, says don't spank the child or don't whoop the child or whatnot. But I also know the law of the Bible says you spare the rod. I think we know the rest. So, man, but we got to step up to the plate. Now, I want to give everybody an opportunity, anybody an opportunity to want to speak on this. Anybody. This is a moment to speak on this. Anybody. Okay.
Well, you know I don't want to hog the airway.
Hello.
All right. How you doing?
Hi, this is Tayshawn from New Orleans. Listening in. And
right.
Working in the child care industry, my degree is in child development and family studies, and I nanny, and I used to teach in the Head Start. So I'm kind of familiar with how the lack of parent involvement is. I do notice that it's a lot of young mothers and fathers and a lot of single families, a lot of single women that's raising these children alone, and it's hard for them to be engaged. They tend to be so distracted from what's going on in their lives that they're not actually being totally engaged with their children. They're not talking to them, speaking with them. I mean, When I was working in the Head Start, I had children who would come to school who didn't have baths. They weren't bathing them. And I know that they had the means to do so. They would just get lazy and complacent and not want to do them. Even now, being a nanny, I work for a woman who is very well off. She's an anesthesiologist. And even her, she just gets complacent and just lack engagement. And it's very sad because the children just want attention. They just want to know that they're loved, to know that I'm here, that somebody loves me, somebody can hear me, I'm talking to them. And it's just very interesting. I feel like it's the lack of just engagement, not really knowing and understanding what's really going on in their children's lives. Just the simple things, just talking to them, how was your day, being able to have dinner together. It's just very interesting now, the generation that's raising children. I also feel like a lot of the men, it's like a fad to just have all these baby mamas is what it's called. And they just have all these children all over with all these different women, and they're not even trying to be engaged with them. One incident I know for sure, a man had two children for two different women, and they were the same age. And it's like, man, what are you doing? You know, it's like, are you really just, you know, out here just doing whatever you want to do, or are you thinking about this is a being that I've created, and I have to take care of this being and put in education into them? And, you know, right now they're sending children from the pipeline. It's called the pipeline to prison. And it's just so sad. It's like they're just making these children, not even engaging in them, just bringing them from school to prison. It's just like they call it the pipeline to prison. And it's just so sad. And there's some people who are trying to change it. And I just hope that other people realize what's really going on, because children are our future. We have to invest in them. And that's all I have to say.
Wow, I mean, that's so much right there. We definitely thank you. Definitely thank you for being here on Talk for Thursday, and that wisdom that you share is you know, this is what we're talking about. This is why Opulent Network Radio is here on Sundays, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and soon every day of the week. But this is why, right here, the education and the knowledge that you are passing on through the radio line. You never know who's listening. We never know how many children we can reach that they may be listening. You know, we never know how many parents that we can reach. You know, and it's something like you said, a lot of people get complacent. They get complacent, and that's where the topic comes from tonight. Are you that? Are you really that multitasking? Are you really got to do that much? You doing this much to where you can't even make sure your child is bathed before school? You can't make sure that they're living properly, sleeping properly? I mean, seriously, are you this much engaged in so much stuff that you can't take care of your child in a proper form or manner of life? You can't raise your child? As you said, just having them and pushing them from the crib to prison without giving them a life, because you never educated them. Sometimes it's like, again, like Ms. Lane said, the parent needs to be educated. That's why we hope and we pray that so many parents be online on Motivational Mondays, on Thoughtful Thursday, Wisdom Wednesday, and, of course, Love to the Line with Dr. Navigator. Because this is about a positive entity in this, and I say all the time, all we want to be is that little flicker of light in this dark world. Because if you can get that little flicker of light, it's gonna loom. The light is gonna loom, just like in a dark room. Any spark of light is gonna illuminate the whole room, and that's what we're doing here off of the network as a team. That's why we are nothing without you, God. Nothing without you, God. There is no us without you. That's why we definitely appreciate each and every person that comes on and speak, every person that listens, you know. And I pray every week that God use the tongues of whoever speak to plant seeds, not just talk. anybody can just talk. But we don't need to just talk. We don't want to just talk. We want to reach. We want to plant seeds to our youth and to the families and to our communities and to our churches. We are the pillars. So, therefore, we have to be the ones to do it. And we definitely thank you. Again, we thank you, sister. Again. Anybody else?
Reverend A. Hey, Reverend A.
Go ahead. Hello, hello.
Hi, this is Naomi.
Okay. Go ahead, sister.
Sorry, I'm someone else is trying to speak. But I wanted to, and pardon me if you can't hear me, I'm wrestling with the little one right now. I wanted to comment on the young lady from New Orleans, I believe I heard, that love how she just spoke on, especially the complacency. And I love always hearing from people who specialize in childcare and really can get that one-on-one experience with families. I for a little while worked in childcare, and although I didn't work with little children or what got really close with the family, just because my job didn't always entail that, there we had in our programs where we realized that, you know, that the children or some of the parents or some of the children weren't really getting the attention that they deserve, you know. And I really experienced it. A kind of a rundown neighborhood, and it was at a summer camp. And so we worked with the children, the local children there, but, you know, a lot of their parents, you know, didn't have the things necessary to help them get through, you know. And so, I don't know, I just wanted to kind of maybe pose this question on top of your question. What are some of the things that we can do, what are some of the things that we can do to help those families? I understand that they are maybe on, you know, maybe they are on government assistance, or maybe they are on, you know, or maybe, you know, maybe there are free classes, but what is it that we can really do to help the community? Because we all agree that the community needs to be helped, but it's kind of like, you know, what can we do to impact the people who need help?
Is that, Susan Naomi, is there a question for the young lady?
Yeah, she's still listening. If she's still here, yeah, I would totally love to hear, you know, more about anybody.
Yes, I'm still here. I had to have phone on mute.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I totally agree. I feel like there has to be something that we can do to reach out to children and families. I know that in some areas where within Head Start or other urban areas where they have, like, facilities for children and families where, like, they have parent educators or family advocates who try to really reach out to the parents and really educate them on how to interact with their children, how to speak with them in a certain type of manner. You know, you don't always have to yell and gripe and moan at them. You know, there's a way to speak to a child to get your point across without being so abusive. And because some of those things are generational of how they learn how to communicate and interact with their children. I also feel like it's on us, too, to make the small differences in people's lives. I feel like if the Holy Spirit will lead you to speak to someone and say, well, I don't think you should talk to them that way, and if they accept it, then you've kind of got a window to, you know, you just, even if you just help that one person, you've done so much, you know. So I feel like even volunteering in with the Red Cross, you know, you reach out to so many different families. People are homeless. They have children and families. You know, I think there's so many avenues that you can help. I think you just have to kind of figure out the right pathway, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Mm. That was
okay.
That was,
yeah. I tried to put the phone on mute. So, but I hear what you're saying, and I agree. I think that the resources that you were saying, and I don't know, I just hope that, you know, maybe more we can, I think that we also, the people, maybe like the people who aren't in those situations, in a way we've become complacent as well, like, because we can see that, okay, you know, those people, this group of people are not doing what they need to do by their children or by the community on their standpoint. But then, you know, in a way, like, it's not like we all get up. I know, well, I'll just speak for myself. I know that, you know, I can talk about it, but I don't always get up and spend my Saturday morning at the, you know, hosting money management classes for, you know, my closest urban neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? Or reaching out, you know, or going to every volunteer opportunity. So I feel like, you know, that is kind of a call for me and for others like me who have more to say about it, but, you know, don't really do anything about it. But I really appreciate your input as a child services, as a child educator, child care service. Yes, I think that's the specialist. I appreciate you as a specialist for sharing our
No problem. And I agree with you, definitely. You know, and I think it just takes it's just the small things to help engage with children, I think. It's just they appreciate that, you know, like when you really care about what they're saying. I noticed that they really love that, especially when they're very young and, like, you're asking them how was their day at school and you're really actually listening and engaged to what they're saying. It makes a big difference. It really does. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that was awesome. That was awesome, Naomi. And it was great that you asked her that question. And anybody else online, anybody else want to give my sister Naomi asked the question, what can we do? This is a question
Hi.
For all of us.
Hi, my name is Karen. I wanted to also add that mentorship is also a vital aspect that makes a difference within the school system. You can go in any school and speak to the parent coordinator to sign up to be a mentor, and that way you can come in and read to groups, classroom sizes of students, or maybe even come in on a regular basis to volunteer. So that's another avenue to reach and influence positively, you know, the youth. So I just wanted to add that in there.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, too, sis. Thank you. That's beautiful. Well, that's right. I mean, because we have to extend our hand in every way we can. That's the only way that we're going to be able to. And it's just like the sisters just said, we have to be able to engage and then, you know, engage to the small things. Just like even listening to them or something. I mean, the smallest thing sometimes can help them get across the river. Of learning theme, you know. So all of this is what needs to be taking place, because we need a form of action to help our youth and our communities right now. And not just the young and the children, but the parents that don't know no better. The kids that having kids, the children that having children. You know, we have to have, you know, with the Sisters of Brilliance, we have to have more Sisters of Brilliance. We have to have more of the male mentorships. We have to engage in these young men and young women, young girls and young boys. This is what we have to do to better our community and better our people, period. So thank you, Sister Carrie, and thank you, Sister from New Orleans. And the question that Sister Naomi asked, you know, what do we do? You know, what do we do? How do we help? That's a serious question. Thank you for that, Sister Naomi. Thank you for that. Anyone else like to speak on this? Catchphrase, just to reiterate, catchphrase, how you do that there, you know, and the topic of tonight, are you really that multitask to where you know, it's to the point of you're doing so much that you can't, you know, engage, you can't help. You know, it's crazy. And when the sister said that about knowing someone, you know that that child coming to school, having bathed, and stuff like that right there. You know, that is ludicrous. And that's saying that the parent isn't taking time, spending any time, because it only take, you know, it doesn't take long to bathe a child. It doesn't take long that you know, to make sure that their child is dressed properly for school. It doesn't take long. So what do we do? How do we grasp hold of not only the children, but the parents as well that don't know no better or are seeking help and need help? You know, to me, I'm going to say that we need more of these sisters of breathing. We need more of these mentorship on, like, the YMCAs and stuff. I rarely see them anymore. You know, so but these are the things that we need. We need somebody that's willing to take charge, and we need somebody that's willing to lend a hand to the families, to the kids, to the parents as well. This is what we need. So I thank you all. Anybody else? Anybody else want to speak on this?
Hey, Reverend Ice, I just wanted to say one last thing.
Go ahead, sir.
So I think that, you know, the way that we've ended this topic tonight, I think it really was a great ending for your primary question, because you asked us in the beginning about how did they keep it strong in the times where there was a lot more, where race and discrimination and, you know, all of those things were really at an all-time high. And kind of like all the sisters have come on and shared tonight that, you know, it was really a community thing. I personally think that it was a village. You know, it was we raise our community, we raise our children, everything is a village, you know. I remember you couldn't do anything without, you know, you weren't just in trouble with your parent, you were in trouble with your neighbor, you were also in trouble with your grandparent. You know, there was a lot more. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, sister.
Sorry, my little one is like, okay, I don't care what you're talking about. So, you know, there was just a lot more that we had to, or that was, you know, based on our communities. I believe that our communities were a lot stronger back then, and that is where our grandparents got the strength to continue, you know, despite the discrimination, despite, you know, the racial tensions and, you know, all of that disgustingness that was happening. But the communities were a lot stronger, and, you know, just right now, you know, the Black community is just not very, you know, it's strong in some portions, in some ways. We have some individuals coming together, and we have people like Karen and our sister in New Orleans who, you know, know what to do, mentorship, and be special.
Sister Karen and Sister Craig. I didn't mean
Sister
to cut
Karen
you off. Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I just wanted to quickly just tell you that. I think it was just about the strength of the community, and that's the difference.
There you go. That's definitely right, too. As we knew, they always, you know, spoke on how it took a village to raise a child, you know. But today in time, not even one person is raising a child. You know, see, we couldn't do anything 2 streets over because we still were going to get our butt. We didn't get our butt when we got home, too, you know. So because everybody knew everybody, because everybody engaged with one another, you know. So and that's the way it was back then, you know. But today in time, it's like everybody's on their own. And it goes back to the topic. Are you that multitasking? And do you have that much to do where you can't engage in your own child, or engage in the neighbor, engage in the person across the street, you know, getting to know each other, getting to know their child, and you getting to know my child, you know. So when we do see them down the street doing something or whatnot, we can give them, you know, guidance, and we can give them a touch of love, let them know that they're wrong, or let them know that they need to be guided in some form or fashion, you know. So I definitely thank each and every one of you all. And I want to reiterate my question from the beginning. I want to give that off again to those that wasn't on. My question was, how many of us have a deceased grandmother or grandfather that you wish you could spend 1 hour with? And during that 1 hour, what is one question you would ask or one thing you would like to tell grandma or grandpa? That was the question. So you're right, Sister Naomi. It did go right into, you know, the end and came right into the beginning from the question, questioning of that right there. So, you know, because it was amazing. If we look back now, it was amazing. In time of at hand, I apologize, but I must say this. It's amazing when we look back now and we look at the things that our grandparents went through. But they always had a face of peace, even in turmoil. And that's why I say they prayed their way through and they sung their way through, you know. And that was the beauty of it. Any final words before we close out tonight? We are at that time, and I definitely thank each and every one of you all again for coming on the Thoughtful Thursday. And as always, it's blessings and love to you. And anybody else would like to speak before we close out? It's been a show tonight, definitely. Sister Naomi, thank you for being here and being my super friend tonight. Thank you for that. And all of you all that have called and listened, we definitely hope you got something out of this that you can pass on. You can pass on to the next person. You can give a seed, plant seed. That's what we got to practice doing on a daily note. We got to practice planting seed to somebody, a positive seed. We got to plant it to somebody. Anybody else would like to speak on this? If not, Sister Naomi, would you pray us out tonight? Maybe she got little man. When little man had to catch up, little man caught her up. Okay. Would you like to pray us out tonight, please?
All right, yes, sure, I totally will. Okay, if everyone please bow your heads for a word of prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you so much for bringing us all here tonight to share in our thoughts and share in our concerns and for our communities. Father God, I just pray that we all have safe nights, we all have blessed dreams, and I pray that we all have amazing days, fantastic Fridays. Father God, just thank you once again for bringing us all here together in this meeting of great minds and sharing of intellect. And with that being said, Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything you do and everything that you will do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Definitely thank you, Sister Naomi. Thank all of you. Blessings and love. You all have a safe weekend. And again, we start off on Sunday at 8 p.m. with Love to the Line with Dr. Navigator. Monday, 9 p.m., Sister Naomi right there. Wednesday, with Sister Lane, who spoke earlier, and back here on Thoughtful Thursday. Love you all. Peace. Blessings.
Love you, brother. Have a good night, man.
You too, man. Love you,
thank
brother.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Thank you, Sister Naomi, Sister Craig,
good night,
Sister Karen.
Good night.
All right, Sister Lane. Love you, Karen. Love all of you. Be blessed.